And I say that because we're going into our big segment, and there's a lot of stuff you are going to want to see. Right, Val?
For sure. No doubt.
Val hasn't even seen it, but she knows.
Your reputation precedes you, Scott.
Yeah. Actually, I just needed you to fill for me for a second. Thanks.
The stories you are about to hear are true. The reenactments are not! Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Odd News on the radio show you should watch with Scott and Val.
Oh, yeah. I'm digging the new promo. I really like that one.
Yeah, you like the guitar that Nigel's playing there, don't you?
I want a guitar just like that. All right, it's Odd News. We've got some crazy stories. We also have some reenactments. We got some funny commercials. All coming your way as my sister kicks it off from Minnesota.
All right, a Minnesota man is facing criminal charges after police say he installed approximately 43-inch metal spikes in his front lawn to stop neighborhood children from riding their bicycles across his property. Sorry, that was he installed more than one 40-inch
spike.
I'm still trying. He installed approximately 43-inch spikes. According to police, the man had apparently become increasingly irritated by children using his lawn as a shortcut to a nearby park. Rather than putting up a fence, posting a sign, or maybe having a conversation with their parents, he allegedly decided to turn his yard into a medieval defense installation.
I love this story.
This reminds me of the promo for Ken. Kids, get out of my yard. Ken
hey,
Owens.
Kids, get out of my yard.
Yes. A neighbor reportedly saw him confronting children and contacted police, who discovered the spikes. Authorities removed the hazards before someone was seriously injured. There are plenty of ways to tell children to stay off your lawn. You could yell at them. You could install a fence. You could become the neighborhood's crankiest old man. Or apparently, if you're sufficiently committed to being the villain, you can just booby trap the petunias. Nothing says welcome to the neighborhood quite like some metal spikes and a trebuchet, right?
Yeah. All right. So just for a frame of reference, this is the worst video I made today. I mean, it's absolutely horrible, but I had nothing else to play.
For the last time, you blasted kids, stay out of my yard. Hey, Jimmy, you forgot your bike. Trebuchet, you putz.
All right, made Val laugh. That's good enough then, right?
It did. The spikes. It was a spike.
The yard came out pretty cool. But, like, if you're just on the radio, you don't even see that. So,
and I know why we're going, because that's one of Scott's favorite words in the whole world is trebuchet.
It's the only font I use as well. If I'm typing anything, doing any kind, it's always in trebuchet. Just because in my head, when you hit trebuchet size 16 font, I can just hear them, you know, from old England going trebuchet. I love it.
As you throw words at them.
Yes. Hey, Val, that's really good. I am tossing words, and I'm going to toss some more words at you. Here's a Welsh man, 26 years old, been fined after dressing himself up as the Grim Reaper, climbing onto the roof of a hospital, and then finding those hospital rooms that have the window that looks to the outside from the ceiling, and staring down at the patients.
Oh, that's horrible.
Just to make it an extra disturbing event, this wasn't Halloween. There was no costume party and there was no haunted attraction, okay? This is just a dude doing it. Apparently, the man simply woke up one day and thought, you know what this hospital needs? A little more death.
You might scare people to death.
Yeah. Climbed onto the roof wearing the full Grim Reaper outfit and began looking down through hospital windows of patients, because nothing improves your recovery quite like seeing the Grim Reaper. I feel better. Can
really?
I get checked out?
I'm okay.
Ready to go. Man pleaded guilty to causing a nuisance and was fined, which seems like not quite enough, right, Val?
Right.
I mean, isn't that like some incentive just to do it again?
Do it again, yeah.
What do you get fined? $50? You scared two people almost to death. So
to death, almost.
Yeah, almost. Good job. All right, here we go. Reenactment time.
Everything is stable.
Doctor, I think my condition is getting worse.
No, you're fine.
Then why is Death looking directly at me?
That's the Wi-Fi technician.
Oh my God, your time has come.
Were you expecting that?
Until it was all done, I had forgot that I was supposed to be expecting the Grim Reaper.
All right, off to Florida. This one's great.
Off to Florida. I feel like, I don't know, this makes me think of an old joke, and I'll try to tell it really quick because, you know. Okay, so there's this guy. Him and his wife are getting in divorce, and he finds a genie's lamp, and he rubs it, and the genie pops out, and he's like, okay, whatever. He goes, you know, I'm going to give you your three wishes, but whatever I give to you, your wife's going to get twice as much. So he thinks for a minute, and he goes, I want a beautiful, brand new house. Boom, he gets one. Boom, his ex-wife gets two. He says, I want $10 million. Boom, he's got $10 million. His wife gets 20. The last one, he goes, I want you to scare me half to death.
No! Oh, I wish I'd have thought of that one. All right, we're gonna have some steak.
I told my bad joke for today.
We're going to have some steak in Florida. It was a good joke.
All right. A Florida steakhouse has introduced a monthly clothing optional dinner night. Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
A steakhouse.
Steakhouse.
Because apparently the restaurant industry has finally answered the question nobody was asking. Could we make people uncomfortable while eating a ribeye? Customers are provided with robes, towels, and seat covers, thank goodness, while the restaurant's employees remain fully dressed. So the customers are naked, the waiters are clothed, and everyone is pretending this is somehow a normal Taco Tuesday. The restaurant has rules, including no unwanted touching, and the requirements that diners use towels or coverings on their chairs. Thank goodness, again. The restaurant says the event is about body positivity and creating a judgment-free environment, which is admirable, although I personally prefer my steak medium rare and my fellow diners fully clothed.
I'm open.
Of course you are.
You know, I looked online, Val, to see if this wonderful restaurant had a commercial, and they didn't. So I made them one. And since it's a parody, I got to use their real name and everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fun.
Totally legal. Here we go.
Are you tired of the same old dining experience? You know, pants, shirts, shoes. The crushing psychological burden of underwear. Well, South Florida has finally decided. Enough! Introducing the new dining experience at CLASS Soiree Steakhouse in Hollywood, Florida. A luxurious evening of fine food, fine wine. And absolutely no fine clothing. That's right. For one glorious evening, you can enjoy a five-course dinner while experiencing the freedom your ancestors enjoyed before somebody invented pants. Begin your evening with appetizers and hors d'oeuvres, followed by a magnificent surf and turf dinner and a champagne toast. All while sitting completely naked next to approximately 20 people you've never met. Because nothing says, nice to meet you, like immediately meeting the entire person. And don't worry! CLASS Soiree has thought of everything. Upon arrival, you'll receive a robe, although, according to the chef, most people take one look at it and say, nah. You'll also receive a lap towel and hermetically sealed seat cushion, because apparently even naked people have standards. The staff remains fully clothed because there are apparently limits to civilization. And here's the best part. It's completely legal. So grab your significant other, your best friend, or that co-worker you've been meaning to make incredibly uncomfortable and come enjoy dinner the way nature intended. Reservations are limited. Clothing is optional. Dignity is apparently negotiable. CLASS Soiree Steakhouse. Come for the steak. Stay because you forgot your pants. Soiree Steakhouse. We have the meat. All of it.
There you go. Soiree Steakhouse in Hollywood, Florida. Wow.
I'm going to see if I can make this comment and not get myself in trouble, but would give a whole new opportunity to say there's a hair in my food. especially if the waiters weren't clothed.
I'm so glad they give you hermetically sealed cushions, because especially if their seats are vinyl.
Oh, yes.
All right, we got a new world's record, and here comes my sick sister to tell you about it.
And now, a story demonstrating that humans will turn absolutely anything into a competition. A Vietnamese yoga instructor has reportedly set a world record by performing 86 push-ups underwater on a single breath. 86.
86.
Underwater.
Underwater.
Without breathing.
Without breathing.
Because apparently, regular push-ups aren't sufficiently difficult. Most people struggle to do 10 push-ups on dry land while breathing normally. Because usually by the time I get in five, I'm, you know, going... the feat required him to remain underwater while repeatedly pushing himself off the bottom of the pool. Now, granted, in water, you'd be more buoyant. Maybe that... All right. Somewhere in the Guinness World Records office, there is apparently an employee whose entire job is deciding whether something is sufficiently stupid to qualify as an achievement.
Ooh. All right. Another reenactment of this. All right. And we got to go full screen for this one because, well, it has to be.
He's going to do it. 84. 85. 86. Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait. Oh,
wait a minute.
Boy.
Oh, no. He's not moving down there.
Don't make me cry.
I think that is a requirement that you actually survive the record attempt.
But
right?
At least he broke. I don't think it's a requirement. As long like the guy counted it off, he officially did the 86th push-up underwater with one breath. He just couldn't come back up. All right, here we go. This sounds dirty, but it's not. Researchers studying marmots in Colorado have come up with an unusual way to raise money after losing all their federal funding because of Donald Trump. They've launched a fundraising campaign called Only Marms. Yes, Only Marms. It's a parody of OnlyFans, except well, you know, subscribers get marmot-related content. because apparently when scientists run out of government money, the next logical step is monetizing rodents. To be clear, there's actually no marmot nudity involved because they're covered with fur. So,
oh, yeah. Okay. That's where you get around the laws.
And possibly little bikinis. Possibly. Although, let's be honest, marmots have never exactly been known for maintaining a strict dress code. The researchers study the animals to better understand their behavior, health, and environment. And now they're asking the public to keep the research going by paying for photos, videos, and updates about their marmot subjects. This may be the most wholesome use of the internet yet. No scandals, no influencers, no celebrities pretending to sell wellness products. Just scientists saying, give us $5 and we'll show you what this fat little mountain rodent did today. Or somewhere in California.
Most likely eat garbage because that's what they do.
Do they? Well, somewhere in Colorado, marmots. What?
I was just going to say, if you've ever been to the transfer station in Spokane, there are marmots everywhere.
Oh, yummy. Marmot sitting on a rock, completely unaware that its face is now helping finance scientific research.
Right. Aww.
I think we should go full screen for this one, too, Val, because, well, marmots are pretty cool, and they're really cute.
Congratulations, little fella. You've become an influencer. You have absolutely no idea what an influencer is, do you? Which means you're smarter than most of them.
See? Marmots in bikinis. That's why we're the short. Where else could you get a marmot in a bikini? But right here in Scott and Val Save the Universe. Just another tiny way. Tiny, tiny, tiny way we save the universe. Marmots in bikinis.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Right.
Thank you. Let's land a plane, Val.
All right. A young flight instructor in Florida has been praised after safely landing an airplane on Interstate 10 when the aircraft developed serious engine trouble. The instructor was flying with a student when they smelled burning oil and realized something was wrong. She contacted air traffic control, assessed the available options, and ultimately brought the aircraft down safely on the interstate. No one in the airplane was seriously injured, and remarkably, no one on the highway was hurt either. Now, technically, landing a plane on an interstate is not considered ideal aviation procedure. It's more of we're out of options sort of maneuver. The student pilot also got an unforgettable lesson in emergency aviation. Most flight instructors say the first thing you learn is how to take off. The student apparently learned, he apparently got the advanced course, what to do when the interstate becomes a runway.
All right, this one is really fun. It's going to remind you of an old 80s movie. And realize, you know, like last week, we had the scary dark summer song. It's another deadly summer vacation. This is kind of the same thing. You never know what's going to happen when you're out there with the family.
I think it's getting closer.
You think?
All right, that's as close as AI would let me get to family vacation. One more time. I got to play it again because look at the car. Look at the front of the car. It did so well.
I think it's getting closer.
Six headlights. I love me a big old green station wagon with bunches of headlights.
What I was noticing, though, it's kind of takes after all the car chase shows, movies, where it does like little or no damage when they like jump a 20-foot, you know, obstacle. And, you know, it still is pretty much intact. And that's how your car was. Yeah. It starts out looking like it's getting crushed and then it's magically better.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah. Just the hood cracked up a little bit in one dent.
Yes.
Hey, you know those old 80s station wagons, they were tough. All right.
For sure.
All right. Is it me or you? I got so excited by that, I forgot.
I believe it's you.
All right. Let's go to Loveland, Colorado then, where a woman got quite the surprise last Friday morning when she found a black bear standing in her hallway. Yeah.
That would be quite the surprise.
Lynn Feldman said she'd left her back door cracked open so the cat could come and go. Instead, a bear came. Feldman locked herself in the bathroom and called 911. But by the time officers arrived, the bear was already done and left on his own. Only thing missing? Cat's food bowl had been licked clean. He didn't steal silverware. He didn't touch the TV. He's a real class act as far as home invasions go. Let's check on... Grandma made it on TV.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I guess he was kind of a polite bear.
Just like we practiced.
That came out really good.
It did. That was a good one.
Poor grandma.
I guess he was kind of a polite bear.
Just like we practiced.
Somebody might want to check on Grandma. All right.
Poor Grandma.
All right, Val, get on your best creepy, spooky voice for our last story. This is huge. All right.
Oh, this is huge and scary. All right. A bizarre and considerably darker story is coming from you out of Alaska today. A family cleaning out a property belonging to a deceased relative reportedly discovered human remains inside a locked outbuilding freezer. Police were called and investigators determined the remains belonged to a man who was apparently connected to the family. Authorities are investigating how the man died and why his remains have been stored in the freezer, which is obviously the sort of sentence that makes you stop whatever you're doing and say, I'm sorry, what?
What?
Most people cleaning out an inherited property expect to find old photographs, Christmas decorations, maybe a questionable collection of magazines from 1987. Police are still investigating the circumstances, and frankly, there are some questions that even Google cannot answer, like, how big was the freezer? because that's the sort of information you really want before agreeing to help clean out grandma's garage. I mean, you don't expect to open the freezer and discover that your relative has apparently been using it for advanced level family storage. I mean, advanced level.
All right.
Ooh.
Ew.
Hey, dude, your freezer smells funny. This is a video Scott made.
Tired of hearing.
Hey, dude, your freezer smells funny.
Then stop putting your dead loved ones or other people in freezers. Why, you ask? Well, first, to avoid all those awkward questions.
Who is that? Why is he frozen?
And the most awkward question of all.
Why is there a body in your freezer?
Well, there's no need to have those conversations anymore. At Family Storage, we literally keep your loved ones
on ice!
That's right. When someone in the family passes away, don't cram them next to the frozen pizzas. Don't wedge Aunt Linda between the nuggets and the ice cream. And whatever you do, don't put a name tag on them that says, leftovers.
Bring them to the professionals at Family Storage. Our convenient temperature-controlled storage facilities are perfect for all your long-term family storage needs.
And we're discreet.
No neighbors asking questions. No relatives snooping around. No children accidentally opening the freezer and discovering Grandpa. Just clean, cold, secure storage. And the comforting knowledge that your family member is somewhere nearby.
And really, really cold.
Legal in at least 3 states. Family Storage. Open midnight to 5 a.m.
Because let's face it.
If you're dropping off Uncle Bob at 2:17 in the afternoon, people are going to notice.
But at 3:30 in the morning?
That's just good planning.
So remember.
Family Storage. Because sometimes love is cold. Family Storage. Keeping your loved ones close.
And your freezer available for pizza.
Call today.
Storage
is not responsible for thawing, freezer burn, or suspicious odors. Family Storage. Family Storage.
What's in your
so
deep
bad.
Freezer? So it turned into a great commercial and a great song. And for those of you that dig this or watch this kind of stuff, on our 24/7 channel at Rogue Frequency Network on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube, our funny commercials run between the music and the skits and the segments and the little shorts and all that kind of fun stuff. So always good for a giggle. And that end of the line where she goes into that harmony about sometimes love is cold. I am so taking that clip and making a song out of it. So Sometimes love is cold. It's going to be my next song with that
All
voice.
Right.
With that voice too. I really dug that. All right.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And it's funny, isn't it? How you get song inspiration from the strangest places.
Dark humor. That's where I get all mine.
You know, and I'm want to write a new song, but I just wasn't getting inspiration. And it turns out my son was my muse.
All right.
Yeah. He made a comment to me the other day. I told him, I'm like, because I started playing the singing bowls. And I told him, I'm like, oh, I hurt my shoulder. I think I did it from playing the singing bowls. And he's like, Mom, that might be the most hippie thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And from that, a song is born.
Really? And what's the title of that song going to be?
Old Hippie Chick.
Old Hippie Chick, huh? All right. I'm going to do a time check here. And we got a message from Alan, so he might be having some technical difficulties. So we're going to go ahead and go to break. And when we come back, we'll tell you what's up. And just know that is your odd news for another Tuesday. And we will be right back.